Let's turn to the Lord as we consider his word this morning. Our Father, we thank you for the inerrant and infallible word of God, that which gives us light to the path we travel in serving you. Grant us help now to understand the blessings we have in Christ and to understand what they mean. Give us grace by your Spirit's help in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn, beloved, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 7. I'm going to read it in context with the other of the Beatitudes we've already read. Beginning at verse 3, Matthew 5, beginning at verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. In our text for this morning, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Now Jesus continues to describe his disciples in progressively gracious terms. The qualities he describes here in this Sermon on the Mount will be evident in the lives of those Jesus has come to save. He makes them followers, which means they are also being remade in his image. They know they were born sinners, so they're poor in spirit. They know they're guilty of sin, but they have been granted a share in God's kingdom and a share in God's grace. They're meek. They're humbled by their still sinful behavior, and Jesus promises they will receive a share in the new heavens and the new earth. And seeing their native poverty of spirit, they hunger and thirst for the righteousness of Christ to characterize their lives, that they would grow in obedience to God and his law. And Jesus promises that they will find that hunger and thirst satisfied. They will be made righteous in experience as they grow in his grace into the image of his Son. And now Jesus, as he progresses in his list of the attributes to the next beatitude, that those attributes, this list of attributes that will most certainly increase over the course of life, he tells us that his disciples will be marked by mercy. Blessed are the merciful. What is mercy? What does it look like in our lives when God shows us mercy? Because the mercy that we show is an imitation of God. Well, mercy is an attribute of God that moves him to those in misery to save them and forgive their sins out of pure grace. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, clearly, this is not something that is earned or deserved. It's a gift of God's grace. We have an example of this in Judges chapter 10. Turn, please, to Judges chapter 10 in the Old Testament. Judges chapter 10, beginning at verse 6 and reading through verse 16. Judges 10, beginning at verse 6. Then the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, served the Baals and the Ashtaroth, the gods of Aram, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the sons of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines. Thus they forsook the Lord and did not serve him. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he sold him into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the sons of Ammon. They afflicted and crushed the sons of Israel that year, and for 18 years they afflicted all the sons of Israel who were beyond the Jordan in Gilead, in the land of the Amorites. The sons of Ammon crossed the Jordan to fight also against Judah, Benjamin, and the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was greatly distressed. Then the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against you, for indeed we have forsaken our God and served the Baals." The Lord said to the sons of Israel, "Did I not deliver you from the Egyptians, the Amorites, the sons of Ammon, and the Philistines? Also, when the Sidonians, the Amalekites, and the Maonites oppressed you, you cried out to me, and I delivered you from their hands. Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore, I will no longer deliver you. Go and cry out to the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your distress. The sons of Israel said to the Lord, We have sinned. Do to us whatever seems good to you, only please deliver us this day. Now catch God's reaction to what they do next. So they put away the foreign gods from among them. They repented and served the Lord. And he could bear the misery of Israel no longer. And so God sent a judge, a mighty warrior, to lead them from the captivity they'd fallen into. Israel deserved to be punished by Ammon, but responded with repentance. And God responded to their pleas of mercy by delivering them out of their bondage. We have perhaps the supreme example of this mercy of God, however, in Christ's prayer from the cross. The Son of God prayed as he was dying, Father, forgive them, that is, forgive his killers, for they know not what they do. You see, mercy knows full well what another person deserves when they do wrong. God, being just, must punish sin. It is a fair and it is a righteous and good thing for him to do so. But God, in mercy, chooses to forgive, even restore. Think of the father in the parable of the prodigal son, who came back from leaving his father, asking for his father to give him everything he owed him in the estate. But he came back to the father and pleaded with him to make him a servant. But the son had mercy on him and received him as a full son once again. That was mercy. And contrast that with Matthew chapter 18, 21 to 35. Peter had said to Jesus, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Jesus said to him, Do not say to you up to seven times, but 70 times seven. And for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. They owed him a lot of money, it says in the next verses, but since they did not have the money to repay, some of them he commanded to be sold along with their wives and children. But one slave prostrated himself before him in verse 26, saying, Have patience with me, and I'll repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But don't you know, that servant turned around and found someone who owed him just pennies. And he began to choke him and said, Pay back what you owe. And his fellow slave said, Have patience with me and I'll repay you. But he was unwilling to do it. And he had him thrown into debtor's prison till he should pay back what was owed. And his master came back to him and said, You miserable wretch, I forgave all that debt. Couldn't you do that for your fellow slave? So you can go into prison until you pay what you owe me. And he turned him over to torturers until he should repay all that was owed to him. That was mercy that was refused, mercy that was not appreciated. You see, mercy is an act of pure grace that freely pardons sin and offenses and embraces in love those who sin. And Jesus tells us that if we are his disciples, we will be merciful. So do you have people in your life who long for pardon from you for things they've done to you? If they are repentant, then you, if you have received mercy from God, you will be merciful to them and show them grace and embrace them. It comes along with being a Christian. You will show them mercy. Mercy looks like this. It is undeserved favor. It is a forgiving spirit toward others who have sinned against you as a sign that God has been merciful to you. God has forgiven you all of your sin, so you freely forgive others for their sins against you. So has God been merciful to you? Has he forgiven you for your sins and rebellion against him? Has he cast your sins into the sea of forgetfulness, as Micah 7:19 says? Well, then God expects you to do likewise with those who have sinned against you. Now, I want to caution you on something. This matter of repentance is important. Jesus does say if they sin against you and come to you and say, I repent, then forgive them. Christ does not require foolishness. And indeed, if you are not repentant, then God will not forgive you for your sin either. The mercy he has towards sinners includes the gift of repentance unto sinners. So you don't just forgive someone says, oh, I'm really sorry. They must demonstrate repentance before you're required to forgive them. Examine your life for the sin of not forgiving those who sinned against you when they have repented. Never hold a grudge against them. For Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. If God has given you the gift of repentance and you've asked forgiveness, he will show you mercy in return for your mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Now let's consider other portraits of mercy in Scripture. Consider three examples. There's sparing mercy through which we inherit the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 and 35. Matthew 25, verses 34 and 35. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The kingdom will come, and you will receive the kingdom. Jesus promises it. There's sustaining mercy. Psalm 41, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 41, verses 1 and 2. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive. And he shall be called blessed upon the earth. And do not give him over to the desire of his enemies. And then there's judgment day mercy that Paul speaks of in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 to 18. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 18. 15 to 18 of 2 Timothy 1. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But was when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day, as you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. The first of the three examples of or portraits of mercy in Scripture is sparing mercy, through which we inherit the kingdom of God. That's a gift of grace. And we are not punished for our sins. Second, there's sustaining mercy. Psalm 41, 1 and 2. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive. And he shall be called blessed upon the earth. And does not give him over to the desire of his enemies. And finally, there's judgment day mercy. 2 Timothy 1, 15 to 18. 2 Timothy 1, 15 through 18. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. So sparing mercy, sustaining mercy, and judgment day mercy. But the best portrait is found in your own life before God. If you're a Christian, if you've repented of your sins and believed in Jesus, you were a sinner fallen in Adam and God's, and you were God's enemy. You deserve to be punished, to be sent to hell for eternity. But God in mercy sent his son to die in your place. He has not only forgiven you. Has he not forgiven you all your sins? Does he not supply you with your daily bread and clothing and protection? Has he not promised heaven to you? If God has had mercy upon you, then your happiness is guaranteed. God is at work to make you like Jesus. He hears your prayers. He satisfies you with good things in this life, and he works all things together for good to you. He works to make you like his son, and he does not treat you as your sins deserve, but freely, freely forgives you. That's what mercy looks like. And if God does that for you, that being so, can you not show mercy to others? Are there people in your life you refuse to show mercy to, even when they are repentant? Again, I'm not speaking of just forgetting the sins or refuse to repent of wrongs they've done and trusting them. I am speaking about the sin of holding grudges against those who have done you wrong and not forgiving them when they are showing repentance. If the fruit of repentance is clearly there in the life of the one you've been angry with, then you must forgive them. And you must repent if you're not willing to forgive them. Scripture is very, very clear on this. Again, scripture we need to turn to. Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. And then there's Colossians 3:13. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And then there's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. But if any has caused sorrow, he has caused sorrow not to me, but in some degree, in order not to say too much, to all of you. Sufficient for such a one is this punishment which was inflicted by the majority, so that on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, such a one might be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Wherefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. And then, Luke chapter 17. And verse 4, scripture from start to finish is just full of examples of God's mercy and mercy shown to others. Luke 17, verse 4, and if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. In other words, your mercy to another who is repentant should never cease, any more than God's mercy to you when he's forgiven you will ever cease. If God has been merciful to you regarding your sins that make you deserving of his eternal judgment in hell, how can you justify not forgiving? If God has embraced you as a son or daughter out of sheer grace and mercy, can you not do the same for one who has sinned against you? To not forgive is to sin against God's grace and mercy and pardon for you and your sins. And so, I am giving you homework. Yes, when the service is done, or before you lay your head on your pillow tonight, or before you do anything else when you get done with this, examine your heart and life for those relationships where you have refused to show mercy to those who seek it from you. Go to God in prayer and ask for grace to show mercy and forgiveness to others as God has shown it to you. Repent of any unmerciful habits or attitudes you've been guilty of. Seek God's pardon and determine by his grace to be merciful. Beloved, an unmerciful believer is a living contradiction. And you sin against yourself in not showing mercy. For it is the merciful who will receive mercy. But if you are not able to be merciful, something is wrong with your definition of a Christian and your understanding of the gospel. Oh, may God search our hearts and remind us of where we have not been or not now are merciful, and help us to become those who are blessed, happy, because God has been merciful to us. Mercy is a defining mark of a true believer in Jesus. Are you a true believer in Jesus? Are you merciful? Let us pray. Almighty God, we come to you and ask that you'd help us to show mercy as we have been shown mercy by you. Grant us help that we might please you in our relationships with those around us, especially fellow believers. In Jesus' name, amen.